Welcome to the Big Picture Kingdom Intelligence Report. I'm your host, Larry Raglan, and tonight is the second Thursday of the month. That means that we have none other than from End Time Headlines, the publisher, owner, director. I mean, he's everything. He's End Time Headlines, y'all. It's Ricky Scapero. He has helped people, millions of people around the world, understand how end time events, current events, tie into the Word of God. And boy, I tell you what, the world is looking at the Bible right now. They're looking at the news right now, and they're wanting to know how it all fits. All that's happening in Israel. We're going to talk about that and much more tonight. Ricky Scapero is with me in the studio for the Kingdom Intelligence Report. Let's go, y'all. Come on. Yes, it is the Kingdom Intelligence Report. And I tell you what, if you have not smashed that like button, please do that now. Nothing helps us more in the algorithm than knowing that you are subscribed, number one, and number two, that you have hit that like button. And we got a lot of new people that's coming on every week, and that's because you are helping us do that, and we appreciate it. We also want to remind you that each and every week we are live here on The Big Picture every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Thursday. All of those shows are at 7 p.m. Monday night is our news show. Wednesday night is our Bible study. And Thursday, as you are watching tonight or on the replay, is the Kingdom Intelligence Report. And just to let you know who all is a part of the Kingdom Intelligence Report, you can see on the screen here each week. The first week is Paul Begley. Second week is Ricky Scapero. Third week is Stan Deo, and fourth week is Pastor Mark Correll. Thank you to all of our partners that have clicked that join button down below. You don't even know how much we appreciate you being a part of that and supporting everything that we are doing. Without further ado, I want to bring in the man that is our guest tonight, and he's always with us the second week, the second Thursday of each month, the Kingdom Intelligence Report. Ricky Scapero, welcome, 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 brother.
What's going on, brother?
It is, of course. Every week, I'm telling you, your fans come out and they scream. They love you so much. Yeah. You can hear that one guy. That one guy's going, Ricky! Before we get into this, we got to talk about the fact that we finally got to meet each other in person. That was amazing. Yes. You got to come out and spend a little bit of time with us at our conference, and we were talking off the air. We look forward to spending more time together, and I thank God for you, brother, and it was great to shake your hand and meet you.
Yeah, same here, man. And look, don't be fooled by he seems very calm and demeanored here, but he is a wild man in the Holy Ghost. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I felt right at home. God, it was an honor, brother, to come to your church, and we felt right at home and welcomed and definitely felt right there in the Holy Ghost. And we didn't get to stay for the whole conference, but we did get to see Miles Rutherford the first night. Wednesday night? I got to talk to Brother Paul. Paul Begley for a few minutes, and it was good. It was a good, refreshing night, but we're definitely looking forward to doing it again. So
thank you, Ricky. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I got a chance to meet your son. And by the way, y'all, he looks just like his daddy.
Yeah. And then my little one looks just like his mama. That's what everybody said. We both got a mini me.
That's so awesome. Well, Ricky, I've said to you many times before how much I appreciate everything that you do for the kingdom of God. So many people have found us through you being on our show, and will always comment in the live chat talking about how much they love you and that you are their pastor. That you've spoken to their life for many, many years. And, you speak into their lives through your shows, but you also help so many people through your website. And, we're going to throw this up here because I'm going to tell you, he's always on the cutting edge. And as you see, it's called End Time Headlines. I would be shocked if you did not already know about this. But if you do not know about this website, it's just simply endtimeheadlines.org. This is what's on everybody's mind, Ricky, is man, my goodness, the whole world is talking about the surprise, and it blows my mind how much of a surprise it was, but a surprise, a just massacre attack from the, you hear them being called Palestinian militants, but they are terrorists, and the terrorist attacked and struck Israel. And the first thing I want to ask you on this is because this is on your website, when you have this headline, Israel launches massive airstrikes on downtown Gaza. This is the beginning of the retaliation. Netanyahu says, we have only started. So my first question to you, Ricky, is what was your initial reaction when you heard of what was going on, probably late Friday night or early Saturday in that weekend at the end of their Shabbat and all of that, and how it was strategically planned? First question is, what was your first thoughts? Secondly, what do you think is happening on the ground in Gaza? What are you hearing of what Netanyahu means by, what does he mean by, we have only just started?
Well, to answer the first part, to be honest with you, one thing I've noticed about getting older, it's kind of like an outdated computer. You know, the older it gets, the slower the processor goes. So for me, I know I didn't fully process the enormity of what was going on. In fact, my phone was blowing up over the wee hours of the night. I got up that next morning, and I had like 100 messages, and everybody was just blowing up my phone. Did you see what happened in Israel? I'm like, no, what happened? And I looked in it, and you know, they have those skirmishes, they have those conflicts. This has been going on since Ishmael and Isaac.
Yeah,
these conflicts have been going on, you know. But I knew we were into something when I began to dig deeper and see the enormity of the attack. The thing that really got me was, how did they get through the Iron Dome? How did they get through the walled, you know, city? They get over these fences, they get through the IDF. I knew once I saw that, and then when they begin to take, you know, the people hostage, they begin to take the hostages, the women, the men, the children, and it just, the barbaric acts of the videos that was circulating on social media, I knew at that point that we were getting into something like what we saw in 1973. I wasn't even born then, but you know, we do research on that, and that was a major, that was probably what, I believe that was the last major conflict they've been in on this scale.
Yes.
And the two prominent nations then was Egypt and Syria.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, you know, and consequently, this happened on exactly the 50-year mark.
Right.
So it was strategic.
Yes.
This was not, you know, some fly-by-lately, plan that they conjured up overnight. I believe 110% that Iran was absolutely, not only were they behind it, they orchestrated it. I believe all the funds that came for this is absolutely into this. And, you know, some talking points have said, some talking heads, some officials, intelligence have said that in some essence, you know, Israel's at war with Iran, and they have warned. I know we'll get into this, but I'm just going to throw this out there, and we'll come back and visit this in a minute. But I don't know. I know you probably saw this, but Israel has warned that if Hezbollah gets involved, then Israel has warned that they will destroy Damascus.
Yes, yes, level it.
Yes, and that, and we know, you know, you guys, I'm sure your audience knows this, our audience knows this, prophetically speaking, that is echoing the words of the prophecy of Isaiah that said that Damascus in the future, has never happened in our lifetime.
Nope.
But it will become a ruinous heap.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that absolutely. And it, I believe that's actually part of the plan. I, in my opinion, I believe the forces that be are going to do everything they can do to pull America, therefore also Russia and China, into this.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that you have on your website at the time of this recording is Putin ally is ready to join the war against Israel. And we covered that on our show, Sandy and I, talking about how I believe that when I had a couple of days to process it, just like what you were talking about, the older you get, the more time you got to have to process it. And I just started processing it, and I just thought, okay, why now? And how did all this happen at this moment? And, you know, our intelligence on the ground is telling us we'll be at war with China in 24. We're sending escalated troops to the European region in the Ukrainian war. Now we're taking aircraft carriers and military assets to the Persian Gulf off of the in the Middle East. So when you look at it in that scale, it does look like World War III. And it does look like that it is really here. And I believe that is absolutely the plan for Hezbollah and others to join the fray, no matter how many times they're warned, because I believe, and we'll get your opinion on this, I believe they're sort of being forced to do it. Even though they know they will be leveled, the powers that fund them are saying, we want to pull America into this. So therefore, if you want the money and you want the military ammunition that we're going to give you, you do what we say. And I believe that they know what America is about to be a part of, which is the election cycle. We're going to be distracted, you know, all this mess that so easily distracts Americans. And while we're distracted, I believe that we're going to be going into a global conflict and a global war. So what is your opinion, Ricky, on, let's just go there, is do you think behind the scenes that there are other forces at work besides radical Muslim terrorists?
You know, Larry, it's interesting that you brought this up, because I have been, in my devotional times alone, I've been just kind of processing this. And remember, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, this is very important, listen to this. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and he gives us ranks, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Hmm. So we know the main chief of this, the guy who is pulling the strings, that's Satan. We know that he is at the top. But then, I believe you have all these hands that are involved in this pulling the string. So what I'm saying is Satan is the top. We understand that. But then below it, it's almost like he's using chess pieces to maneuver. We know according to the Bible that the Bible indicates that as we get closer to the end and we get closer to this thing wrapping up, that, he will become even more angry. Yeah. It says that his time is short, so he will begin to pour out his wrath upon the earth. So I believe we've entered into what I believe is intense birth pangs of the Messiah. Absolutely. And through this, we know that there is chief principalities at work. The book of Daniel talks about there. He identifies there's the prince of Grecia. There's the prince of Persia. Yep. We know that these are prince chief spirits in the Middle East that Daniel contended with. Even when he was praying, his prayers were hindered because of these chief principalities. And if you study out even the Gulf Wars that our troops was involved in times past, this is very interesting. You studied out, they encountered really weird, bizarre, supernatural and freakish things like, dust storms that it came out of nowhere. Yeah. I think this is why, because principalities. So to answer your question, I believe, just like you read in Ezekiel 38, listen to this, church. This is crazy. Ezekiel 38, and the book of Revelation talk about, let's go to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38 says, what does it say? God, in the latter days, in the latter times of Israel, God himself will put hooks, plural tense.
Yep.
Hooks in the jaws.
Say that.
Plural tense of the nations. And without going into detail, there's three main nations that we all need to pay attention to, because these are mentioned in the Gog Magog war. Now we can mention Psalm 83. We'll probably get to that in a second, but Gog Magog, the three major nations, the three major players of prophecy, Russia.
Think about it.
Turkey. Mm-hmm. By the way, Erdogan has already made a statement about this.
Yeah.
He is calling for Israel to call a ceasefire.
Yeah. Which is absolutely ridiculous. Ceasefire. You don't have no right to negotiate a ceasefire. When you start getting retaliated against for murdering children, There's a video out right now. I have not seen the video. I do not want to see the video that is circulating where there is one of the kibbutz, one of the villages that they went in, where they murdered 20 or 30 babies and children and videoed them beheading these children and their mothers. Yeah. And they showed that, and I know I'm getting off track here, but there's
you're good.
This is what infuriates me, Ricky, is they showed protesters in New York City the video. They held it up on the phone, the video of those kids, and they laughed and they rejoiced at the beheading of babies, not even teenagers, which would be horrible enough, but I'm talking about babies that could barely walk in the streets. And then you want to try to negotiate a ceasefire, please. Turkey, as you just said, you know, they're involved in the whole World Economic Forum. They're trying to play both sides of it. Of course, that's where the seven churches of Asia are. So there's just so many different things. So finish your point.
Russia, Turkey, Persia, which is modern day Iran. These are the three main players.
Yes.
And look, I'm going to go off what you said. This is what's crazy. And, you know, we had a U.S. official, Blinken, came out and texted, you know, calling for Israel to make a ceasefire. And he got so much intense backlash
that,
of course, retracted and deleted the tweet, of course. You've got the squad. You know, and they're bashing and trashing. It's just amazing. But you know, I thought about this, and it's not just New York City, but it's not just in streets of America, but you see it in Australia, you're seeing it in France, you're seeing the United Kingdom, you're seeing this all over the world. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. God said, and this was, now listen to this, church. The climate in Noah's day, it said that violence covered the earth. Here's an interesting little thing, a nugget I want to point out. Some of you may know this, may not know. If you look up the Hebrew word for violence, it's the word Hamas.
What?
Yes. Genesis 6, 11. And Hamas covered the earth. Now you go to Luke 17. What did Jesus said? As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man.
Oh,
so,
Lord, listen, you're helping us.
We may not see, quote-unquote, Hamas as in the physical form of the soldiers in the streets of America yet. I believe they're here. I believe they're sleeper cells. I know you want to talk about this, Larry. They're sleeper cells. I got to calm down because I'm going to get all in the flesh in a minute, but this administration has turned a blind eye. They've allowed the gates to be wide open. God only knows. And it's not just Hamas, guys. We're talking about Chinese nationals that have come into our soil, on our land, and that are buying up land. They're spying out the land. They're setting up positions. They're setting up places. Yep. What's going on? But what Larry's talking about, it's all strategic. China. Yeah, Iran, Syria.
Yeah.
Let's talk about North Korea. North Korea is threatening to use nuclear weapons. And what he said, what he's saying, guys, is not hyperbole.
No.
If you say, well, you know, I don't believe we're in a world war. Guys, listen, America's involved with Ukraine and Russia. We're getting involved with Israel and Hamas, or we could say, let's just be realistic here, Israel. We're getting involved with Israel in a war with Hamas, with Lebanon, with Iran, with Syria, with all these other nations are going to get pulled into this. Let's not forget this. It's only a matter of when, but not if. But you got China. China's already said they're going to invade Taiwan.
Let's not forget that multiple military sources have told me directly, I've heard other people being told, but I've been told directly to me from anonymous people that are in high levels of intelligence and confirmed twice, neither one of them knew what was being said. One in my area, one from the state of Texas, both are telling me, Ricky, that the military are telling their fellow generals and fellow commanders to begin to tell their people, their military personnel, we will, not possibly, we will be in a military war with China in 2024. So it's already in their mind. They're talking about reinstituting the draft. They're talking about they have run the scenarios, Ricky. I'm talking about both independent verifications. Two different places in the country told me this, that they have ran the AI simulations against China, millions of simulations, and every single time we lose. I hate to say that as an American, but we did not win one simulation. So if that's the case, we just back in July, we reported that the largest military asset movement in our lifetime was underway to the China Sea. Now we are moving military assets to the Middle East. We have sent troops to Europe. And these people that want to push back and say there is no such thing as World War III, it will never happen. The definition of a world war, one of the definitions of a world war, is an active proclaimed governmental declaration of war in more than one continent happening right at the same time. Well, guess what? We're in that now. So we are in World War III. And go ahead.
Well, no, but we got to remember, though, that we have a administration that likes to change the definitions and the terms, because, you know,
true.
What was a recession in our lifetime is no longer a recession.
So true.
So, hey, according to them, we're not in a World War III. It's happy days are back again. Everything's great. And, you know, it's absolutely amazing.
Look at this, because this is what you were talking about. More than 255,000 have apprehended at the southern border in just September alone. And it
wow.
says 36 mostly single military age men from Mexico in that picture. It says that at least 255,212 foreign nationals were apprehended, reported evading capture after illegally entering just in September. This includes 222,000 apprehensions and 33,203 gotaways. And, you know, so on top of that, I don't have the article in front of me, but on top of that, it said that almost 200 terrorists on the terrorist watch list were apprehended in the last couple of months on the border as well. How many were not apprehended? There is no way possible that there are not sleeper cells in our own country. This is not a fear-mongering show. This is you being told to wake up, that these barbaric things, this is what's being told to me, that there are cells waiting that are embedded in the largest cities of our country, waiting on activation to begin to carry out similar things that we just saw in Israel in our own country. And we're being distracted by Taylor Swift and who she's dating in the NFL and all this mess. And it's all designed to take our eyes away, because here's why I think it is, because if we really start paying attention to what's going on, it will drive many people to the Word of God. And the enemy knows I got to keep them distracted so that they will not see that this was already in Scripture.
Yeah, it's happening, brother. Like I said, that spirit that, you know, of violence, that the same spirit, it's been here for thousands of years. That same spirit that operated in Noah's day, it
yes.
is now. It is here. It is now. It's been, you know, we may not have seen it into its full manifestation, but now we're starting to see this, and we're seeing it in streets. I mean, look at the lawlessness, look at the looting, look at all, this is that same spirit of lawlessness. This is the, I believe this is the same spirit that's all connected to 2 Thessalonians. This is all preparing the way for, you know, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, to come
yes.
on the scene. Because, from what I studied and what I'm seeing in prophetically speaking, you know, now some scholars will differ on this. I don't know. I don't even know where you stand on this. But some say that the prophecy of Psalms chapter 83 has been fulfilled. Some of them put that in. There's different camps. Some say that it was fulfilled in the days of Chronicles. Some say it was fulfilled in 1948. Some say it was fulfilled in 1973. But when I start breaking these down, of looking who these key players are in this, I'm not so sure that this was fulfilled in times past, because there's a lot of, you know, you could try to make this fit, But all these key players in this, and it lists, there's 10 coalitions or 10 nations, excuse me, in this coalition in Psalms 83. Listen to their unified agenda in Psalm 83. It says in Psalm 83, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Listen what it says. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And it says here, they've consulted together with one consent, and there's a confederacy made. And without going in great detail, there's 10 nations here. You have Palestine, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, who, by the way, has already said, we're done with your peace treaty with Israel. They're done with it. You've got Egypt that's involved. Yep. By the way, I don't have it in front of me, but I got a report this morning that Israel has already warned Egypt this morning that if they start sending any type of resources, then they're in the game.
Come on.
If they send any resources to Hamas or Hezbollah or anything, then they will be prime picking themselves. Then you got Hezbollah, who obviously they've said they're going to get involved. You have the Lebanese. Hamas is already involved. And then, of course, you have Iraq and you got Syria. And Syria has been warned. You go to Ezekiel 38. You know who one nation that's missing from the Gog Magog war? And this is blowing me away, because how could they be missing? You know who it is? Syria.
What?
How could Syria be missing from a major war like Gog and Magog? The answer, I believe, in my opinion, is something's got to happen between now and that war and the fulfillment of that war that eliminates Syria from being in the equation. And I believe that's going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 17. So this has huge prophetic ramifications, guys.
Yeah, and when you said earlier that Netanyahu made the statement that if Syria gets involved, they will level Damascus. Level there. That this right here is. I want to get your feeling on this. I don't know if you saw this headline. Netanyahu vows to change the Middle East forever. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to change the Middle East in Israel's war with the Palestinian militant group Hamas as the army pounded the Gaza Strip. What Hamas will experience will be difficult and terrible. We are going to change the Middle East. No one has ever said that publicly. Certainly no prime minister has ever said that. Basically, what you're saying is what he's saying is that this is not just about Gaza. We've made a decision to finally, permanently change the Middle East. This is only the beginning. We are all with you, and we will defeat them with force. So he's going to change the Middle East. So here's what I want to say to you is that when you said that about Egypt, that's what triggered me to fire that, because he's just saying, okay, all of you, I know what you're all thinking. This is your opportunity to finally eliminate us. You're not going to eliminate us. If you get involved trying to eliminate us, you will have no repercussion, or there will no be pushed. We will not listen to you because we will take over your land. I believe, and I may be wrong on this, I believe that when all the dust settles and this thing finally, they finally just leave Israel alone, Israel's going to be much larger than it is right now. I believe their official may not be recognized by the United Nations, may not be recognized by map makers, but I'm telling you, I think the days of just, you know, you stay there, you keep all your missiles pointed at us there, and we'll just try to manage you with a fence and with surveillance and drones, those days are over. And when you got Netanyahu saying, we are about to change the Middle East, change the Middle East. Think about those words, not change Gaza, change the Middle East. There's a lot of countries in the Middle East. So he's basically saying, we're about to let all of you know what we could have been doing for a while. Now we're not warmongers on this show, and we're not in the sense that we believe that Israel has done everything right and that they are perfect. They are not. But we're also unapologetically on this channel pro-Israel, because they are still the apple of God's eye. I want to repeat, I do not believe in replacement theology. I believe that God's people that the children of God, there's still only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. But that does not take away the fact that God's apple of his eye is still Israel. And everything that we read in the book of Revelation happens in Israel. We are supposed to be watching Israel. The whole world wants Israel because it is the center. It is the proof that God exists. People keep saying, I want proof that God exists. Look at Israel. There's no possible human way that Israel should still exist. Number one, that they should have never become a country again, and that they still exist throughout all of this. And I believe when it's all said and done, not only will they still exist, I believe they're going to be even bigger and larger than they are now, because I do believe that, you know, the world's going to try to stop them, Ricky. I mean, the United Nations have already, the director of the United Nations came out this morning and already warned Israel to not harm civilians, even though, I mean, literally warned them not to harm civilians, even though just a couple of days ago, babies were being beheaded in the streets of Israel. But the world is already turning the narrative. Sorry for my rant.
Oh, you're good, man. Look, either two things are going to happen here. Either this war is going to be another, you know, it's going to be another Gaza war that will carry on for a week or 2 weeks, and it'll just eventually there'll be a ceasefire and it'll fizzle out, or this thing is going to escalate. And this is the thing that concerns me for the, like you said earlier, the innocents, the people yes. that are stuck in the middle of this thing. Look, when you go to the scriptures, Israel has some weapons that are profound that I don't think we've ever experienced in our lifetime. There, for example, there's prophets that mention in the Bible about men that will stand. They'll be standing and their eyes will melt in their sockets.
Yes.
And it will be a form of judgment. Listen to me. Israel has weapons. This is no secret. Israel has weapons capable of fulfilling that prophecy where yes. men will be evaporated in seconds. And you know, there is a scripture. I was thinking about this, Larry, when you were talking about this, in Isaiah 14, verses 31 through 32. Listen to this. It says, "Wail, O gate, cry, O city, all you of Philistia are dissolved, for smoke will come from the north, and no one will be alone in his appointed times." What? And again, I've always believed that prophecy can be it can have a double application. We know that it can be fulfilled yes. here, but it can have a double. Listen to what it says in verse 32. "What will they answer the messengers of the nation that the Lord has founded Zion and the poor of his people shall take refuge in it?" In other words, you know what I get is this? Who are the messengers of the nations? That's the UN. Wow. What will they answer to the United Nations? This thing could get so bad. If you go to, for example, if you go to Ezekiel 38, the Gog and Magog war, have you ever read how God himself will rise up and defend Israel and the judgment that will be cast upon these nations? And when it starts giving the description of what's going to happen and what's going to transpire, listen, we have never seen anything in our lifetime. Now, you know, we could go back to the Holocaust. And by the way, there are certain publications and certain leaders in Israel. They have described this situation going on right now. This is the most heinous act since the Holocaust.
Think about that.
So there is, I call it, you know, there's these prophetic parallels that are happening. The implications of this are terrifying in the natural. But I always, you know, we always want to tell people to stay grounded in the word. Luke 21:28 said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, we got to look up. We got to lift up our heads, for our redemption's drawing near. So we know this, but, you know, again, this will either fizzle out or this thing's going to end up escalating and it's going to pull in other nations. And the, you know, worst case scenario, America's going to get pulled in. Britain's going to get pulled in. We're going to see a multi-front war, aka World War III, in our lifetime. We've never seen. We've had World War I. We've had World War II, and now, you know, God forbid, you know, but prophecy's got to be fulfilled, right? So,
well, see, in our mind, when we think about World War I and II, we think about the movies, we think about the images that we've seen, and you know, they had planes, they had, you know, different things like that, but the technology was, you know, the main death toll and the main warfare that we see in the movies and in our history books is the ground contact, the person to person, you know, the people going across the fields, hiding behind trees and in trenches and so forth. Well, we now live in a world where it's fought by drones. It's to the most part, it's fought by, you know, air and all this. You still have to fight on the ground. But I think people are just automatically pushed back that, you know, no, we're not into World War III, or no, we're not close to it, because they're comparing the images of war in World War I and II to what World War III would look like. World War III is not going to look like World War II. It is a completely different world. In fact, you know, if you really want to go down that rabbit hole, a lot of World War III is going to be fought by AI. It's not even going to be fought by human beings. And I mean, it's all yeah, exactly. It's already being fought that way. They're already, you know, they're relying on AI. Think about this. When I was talking about the scenarios where they ran with China and U.S. and we lost every time, well, who's to say that that's not being manipulated by AI? You know, AI is the one that's running this. Who is not to say that when we start the war that we trust AI and these smart bombs and all this to do the work for us? There could be nefarious forces at play in World War III that could turn that missile a certain way to guide a war the way they want to guide it. Listen, this is all being instructed by demonic principalities that you touched on earlier. This, the ancient demonic gods that people have fought, little g's, that have fought for generations, for civilization after civilization after civilization, they all know this is it. If we don't know this is it, they certainly know this is their last shot. This is the winding down. We are the final generation. So therefore, they know they're running out of time. So they got to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. They've got to steal. They've got to kill. They've got to destroy as much as they can, as quick as they can. I believe it's going to escalate. I believe 24 and 25 is going to rapidly escalate. Global war. I said it on my show Monday night. I'm going to say it again tonight on this Thursday night live broadcast. I hope to God I am wrong. I hope I go back. People go back and find these videos and send them to me and say, you missed it. You were wrong. I am begging that I am wrong. But I believe this is in my gut, I feel that in 24 and 25, we are going to see escalation of global war. Think about how close we're going to be to Agenda 2030. They are on rapid. See that? See, with this talk of what we're talking about here tonight, nobody's talking about World Economic Forum. Nobody's talking about Klaus Schwab. Nobody's talking about what they're doing to the food. Nobody's talking about what they're doing to all the things that are happening with currency and all this kind of stuff. All this is still happening in the fog of war. And when all this fog of war is going on, all these other things that are going to control our lives are being done as well. That's why I believe 24 and 25 are going to alter this world like nothing we have ever seen. And I believe what is going on in Israel is a key ingredient in it. I know Hamas hates Israel. I know they want to see the annihilation of Israel, but I do not believe this scale of attack, Ricky, there is no way this scale of attack could have been brought about just by people who live in Gaza. This was a global effort, global funded, global planned. And if Iran was the one that was behind it, well, guess what? The funder of Iran is Russia and China. So you really have the China, Russia, and Iran are what is really behind this. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I hate to be this guy, but, you know, while the right hand is over, while we're, you know, observing what's going on over here, something else, and I'm going to be talking about this on our program or one of our podcasts, but there is forecasts now. There's bells ringing. New data reveals that we're going to see a crash that has not been seen since the Great Depression.
Wow.
In 2024. Now, you want to talk about prophetic parallels? You know what else happened during the Great Depression? You know what else was going on right in the same era of the Great Depression? World War II.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? So you got, so now they're talking about, you know, and like he said, nobody's talking about this because everybody is glued to the television, and rightfully so. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is horrific what we're seeing, and it's going to capture your attention. But all the while, they're talking about an October surprise. We're not through the month of October yet. This is one of the this month for the stock market, for Wall Street, for the economy. This is a very crucial, volatile month in history that we need to be paying attention to. So you've got this going on, and then you know what else is going to happen in 2024? We've got another sign in the sun, moon, and stars, which is this great eclipse that's going to come and make that X across America. And again, and everybody, look, I am glad. Wow. Look, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. I give God the glory. But when we come on here and we talk about these harbingers and these comets and the signs, people are just kind of like, yeah. But I think people are paying attention now, especially after this last time. So listen to me. Solar eclipses are seen as omens and harbingers, not for Israel, but for the world.
Yes.
For the Gentile world. So again, you go back, you studied. I didn't pull up all my notes here. I could pull it up and I could show you solar eclipses in history and historical significance with transitions of world empires, world wars, global wars, conflicts, civil wars, all that stuff. And here we are. We're about to go into, and by the way, on the Jewish calendar, Hebrew calendar, we're already in 2024.
Yep.
So here we are. We're getting ready to transition to a new year. We've got a multi-front war getting ready to, again, some analysts say we're already in World War III. Others say, well, I don't know if we are, but whatever. However you want to define that, but we're in a multi-front war. We've got that going on. We got the economy that is volatile. They're saying that could collapse, may not. Who knows? We're going to have to wait and see that. We have another major sign coming from the heavens, a solar eclipse that is there, that the sons of Issachar, those who understand the times and seasons, we're going to see this. And we know that these are Moedims in Hebrew. These are for signs in the heavens. They're appointed times. There are seasons. Yes. And then you have signs, which is a Hebrew word, meaning it's an omen, a token, a warning sign. It's almost like if we were to transliterate this and make this in modern vernacular, it would be like a massive warning sign in the heavens.
Wow.
It's flashing, saying, God, just like he did with this comet, God is saying, pay attention, prepare. Let me say this one point, then I'm going to throw it back to you. Let's go back Genesis 6:11. And violence shall cover the earth. Hamas shall cover the earth.
Wow.
Days of Noah, Luke 17. Well, let me give you some redemptive hope. Let me give you some, I'm going to throw this angle because I know this is a lot of bad news. This is a lot of things that can, here's the awesome part. Even in the midst of all of that, there was a remnant. Mm. Noah, come on, somebody. Mm. Noah was a remnant. Noah's family was a remnant in the midst of this. Noah was not setting back idle. Noah was not sitting on his hands. There was two things that Noah was doing. Ready for this? He was preparing and he was warning. Let me say that one more time. He was preparing his household. He was building an ark for the saving of his household. He was preparing for the storm that they were about to embark into that was going to impact the whole world. Okay? And by the way, just to throw this out there, it was after this global flood of Noah that impacted the whole world. It was after this that a man by the name of Nimrod came on the scene in the Middle East in a place called modern day Iraq. And he created the first picture of the new world order, one world government system. And it preceded a global disaster. Okay. So Noah was preparing his family for this. Number one. Number two, while he was preparing his household, oh, this is good, he was warning the households of those around him that, come on, something they had never seen in their generation was about to come, and they needed to get ready. They needed to repent. They needed to prepare for what was coming. Come on, this is, wow. I'm telling you, Jesus said, as it were in the days of
That's
Noah
what Jesus
and Lot,
said.
So shall it be at the return of the Son of Man.
My God. Whoo, that's a lot to process, man. I got to go back and watch this show myself. That's some good stuff, man. That whole thing about, you know, Hamas in the days of Noah, you know, Hamas will cover the earth. That's incredible. And one of the other things that you said earlier that triggered me, and I pulled it up. I was not planning on pulling this up. I don't know if you knew this, Ricky, but when you were talking about the two things you said just brought my mind to something crazy. You was talking about the eclipse, how in 2024 we're going to see totality again in the United States of America. I don't know if you were able to see the one in 2017, but my family and I traveled to Georgia to one of the places that was supposed to be, you know, where you're able to see the full totality, and we saw it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you saw part of it, if you only saw 99% of it, you did not see everything I saw. When you are in a place where you get totality, where you take off those shades that you have to wear, and you can with the naked eye look directly at the sun, it is to this day, time of this recording, I'm 55 years old, to this day, it was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life, that I've ever experienced in my life. I can't explain it. Were you able to see totality?
No, I was in Indiana at the time. I lived in Sellersburg, Indiana, and we didn't get totality there. And there was a lot of cloud cover, of course.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see that.
So I'm telling you, it is, if you can do it, you need to get to a place in next year and see it, because this one's going to be twice as long. But when that happens, it is, all I can explain to you, it is literally a spiritual thing that happens, because I'm talking about where we were at in Tifton, Georgia. I believe it was where we were at. We're there, and we're lined all the way down the streets. There's just, as far as the eye can see, people lined up. They all got the little special glasses on. We're all watching it and all this. And then all of a sudden, it goes to totality. And everybody's woo, hollering and screaming and all this. Totality comes. Ooh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. It was unbelievable. People took those off, and they looked. And I'm telling you, it went completely in the middle of the day, night. The lights all came on.
Wow.
All the, I mean, just the crickets, the bugs started acting weird, started making noises like they do at night in an instant. And people began to weep, Ricky. They began to fall on their knees all around us and begin to cry. Sobbing, crying. You could hear people praying in the spirit. You could hear people repenting. It was unbelievable. I mean, I was not planning on that. I was there to just see it. I did not know it was going to be as spiritual as it was. It was a moment where it caused people to look at themselves. You could see it. You could see people. You knew they were not going to church, but they couldn't explain it. I had one particular guy that we knew that was near us that, you know, wasn't really right with God, wasn't right with God at all. I don't even know how much he even believed in God. And he starts asking questions about God to us afterwards. But this is happening again next year. And this is the thing that's crazy. The other thing that you mentioned was Egypt. Did you know that in
2020?
That's it. I'm going to pull it up right
here. Yeah, tell him though. Go ahead.
So look at this, ladies and gentlemen. If you did not know this,
Little
Egypt. A 7-year itch. Think about this. A little reservoir in Carbondale, Illinois is about to experience the first of two totalities. It's an old article. One in 2017, another in 24. Think about it. 7 years. If you stand in one place on Earth for 360 years, you will on average see a total solar eclipse. The law of averages, however, breaks down completely over the next 7 years in the town of Carbondale, Illinois, in the United States, will experience two blackouts in that short period. Carbondale area, referred to as Little Egypt, gets a celestial jackpot. Not only will the USA experience a total solar eclipse on August 21st, 2017, which is what I was just talking about that I saw, but another will squeak through 7 years later, April 8th, 2024. Carbondale is close to the point of the greatest duration and will last for 2 minutes and 38 seconds. In 2024, it's over 4 minutes, but the chance of having a clear view of totality is much greater in 27 than 24 as more of a cloudy time. But the thing that is amazing about Little Egypt, y'all, in Carbondale, Illinois, is one went this way across the United States. The other one's going this way. And that X that you were talking about, right in the center of that X is Little Egypt.
It's also the New Madrid Fault, too.
Yes, it is.
The New Madrid Fault. And look, everything you were saying to me reminded me of Luke 21, where he says, "And there shall be great and fearful sights from heaven." And you know what the next part is? "And on earth, men's hearts failing them from fear of the expectation of the things coming upon the earth." Guys, it's unbelievable. You know what? I told all of our listeners, what was it, yesterday? Man, all these podcasts run together.
Yeah, they're running together.
Or whenever it was, sometimes this week, I said, if there was ever a time that you could take, you know, I would say a newspaper, but that's showing my age because not many people read newspapers anymore. If you take your phone, take your tablet, take your laptop, whatever, go into a restaurant where they've got the news up, you can literally preach the gospel to them by taking your Bible, showing them what's on the screen. Larry, came out of church. I went to a church this past Sunday. I came out, went into the foyer, went into the restroom, and there was a guy there that knows me, and he knows, you know, that I deal with prophecy. So he started asking me all these questions. What's this? What's this? And the next 10 minutes later, I had a whole crowd around me. All these guys, I was in the men's restroom. All these guys gathered around me asking me these questions.
They're hungry.
It happened at the barber shop. I went to the barber shop.
Wow.
I'm in the barber chair just preaching the gospel.
Yep.
Telling them about everything we're talking about. And I mean, you could hear a pin drop in a place. People were just, I'm telling you, I said this the other night, Jesus said there wouldn't be a shortage of the harvest. He said there'd be a shortage of the laborers.
Come on, guys.
This is the time. What are we waiting for? We've got all the resources we need to reach people with the gospel. Everything's happening.
Well, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
And
I'm telling you, people are hungry. And I try to remind people all the time, you're scared to death to preach from Revelation. If you're a pastor, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you don't preach from the book of Revelation. And you're afraid of it and scared of it. But here's the reality. It is not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's not the revelation of the tribulation period. It's not the revelation of anything other than the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a revelation.
And it's the only book that promises a blessing to the readers of it.
Exactly. The only one. In fact, most people misquote it where it says, if you add or take away from this book, I will add the plagues into this book. They quote that because they don't know the Bible. Meaning the whole Bible. Now, I understand that it has an application there, but it's the book of Revelation.
Yes.
It's the only book that promises a blessing for reading it and keeping the words that's written therein. It's the only book that promises you that if you add or take away from it, the plagues that are mentioned to be added to it. And it is the only book that says the testimony of the revelation of Jesus Christ is in here. It is about Jesus Christ. So speaking of that, Ricky, we've got about 5 minutes left. Actually about 4 minutes left. So take a moment and look into that camera. Pray for us. Speak into our lives. For those that might be fearful in this moment, let's give them some hope and let's pray for them right now.
Father, we thank you for those that are watching the broadcast, those that are listening to the broadcast, those that are watching, listening, whatever you're at, wherever you're doing right now. I want to encourage you to stop what you're doing, if you can, if it's possible, if you're listening somewhere, if you're driving, I want you to agree with me right now. Maybe you're watching the news. Maybe you're looking, maybe you're hearing everything. You're getting reports. Maybe you've got people that are directly involved in this somehow. You got family that are involved in this. And it's like the spirit of fear has taken up residence in your heart. I want to encourage you today with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said in the book of Luke chapter 21, 28, it's one of our signature passages that we always recite on our ministry. And that Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things taking place, we're not to hang our heads low. We're not to cower in fear. We're not to worry nor fret. He said that, but we're to lift up our heads because our redemption is surely drawing near. So I want to pray with you right now that God would baptize you with a spirit of emboldenment, that he would embolden you to open your mouth and proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because time is running out. Yes. Time is of essence. When Noah received the word of the Lord, he did not know. Think about it, church. He didn't know it was going to be over 100 years until the rain fell. He didn't question God. He didn't ask God. He didn't ask for a timeline. He just obeyed. When the angels showed up at Lot's house, they said, "Hurry up and get out of the house, for we can do nothing until you're out of the place." Both incidents, one had over 100 years to prepare. Lot and his family had 24 hours to prepare. Don't gamble it. Wow. Don't take a chance. You listening right now, it's time, just like we talked about, there's time to do two things. Prepare your heart, prepare your household. Mm-hmm. And number two, you need to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. I want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that the precious Holy Spirit, Lord God, would baptize us afresh with Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, John said, "He who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." You said in your word that the righteous are as bold as a lion. God, you've not given us a spirit of timidity. You've given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I pray that you would empower us to go into the marketplace, go into the highways and byways. Wherever we go, I pray that you would empower us. You said in Acts chapter 1:8, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria." And that's wherever you're at, that you would be a witness of the gospel. And secondly, I want to pray that power over you and pray that the Holy Spirit would empower you to do that. And then we're going to shift here. I want you to begin to prepare your heart. Maybe you're watching, maybe you're listening. Maybe somebody invited you into the broadcast. You don't have no relationship with God. You have no peace. If something was to happen right now, if you were to die today, we go into a full blown war, like on a scale of the past. You're not ready. We want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, maybe you're backslid. Maybe you're away from God. We pray right now that the Spirit of God would draw men to repent, that they would confess their sin. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if you'll confess your sin, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he rose again from the dead and he is the Lord Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved. So I pray that you would be obedient to that right now. Make the greatest decision that you ever can make. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Woo! Powerful. If you prayed that prayer, I'm getting emotional here, because, man, that touched me, man. I can feel the power of God on that prayer, Ricky. Mm-hmm. But if you gave your life to Christ, you rededicated your life to Christ, you made a new commitment to God, you rebuked the spirit of fear over your life in this prayer, comment down below and let us know, and I'll make sure Ricky knows about it. And speaking of Ricky, I want everybody to know, if you don't already know, go to endtimeheadlines.org or .com, and you will see his new site that he has had up for many, many years that has just helps people all over the world understand exactly what's going on. There's ways on his website that you can connect with his social media. You can learn more about his ministry. And also, if you're watching and you're new to our channel, you can go to LarryRaglin.com, LarryRaglin.tv, and you can see our new book that we've got out, I See Greatness in You, is blessing people all around the world. And if you click this link here, and it will take you to a PayPal link, you can give one time or monthly, become a monthly partner with us, and you'll get a free copy of our book for everyone that does that. And, of course, we also have our merchandise, and you can join our email list there as well. All of this is on our website, and it's so easy to go to. It's LarryRaglin.com or LarryRaglin.tv. Ricky, once again, I want to thank you so much for being our monthly guest here on the Kingdom Intelligence Report. I always love our time together, man. We start off with one little nugget, and then we just let God take it wherever he wants to take it. So that's just two men of God out here just trying to help people. And any parting thoughts as we get ready to close this week's episode of the Kingdom Intelligence Report?
I think we've covered all the bases, brother. Just keep an eye, like I said, keep an eye on, you know, keep an eye on the nations that are getting involved, because that's going to be the real key to if this thing is really getting into things that are, you know, prophetic in nature and biblical. So, you know, just keep an eye on that stuff.
Thank you, sir. Well, bless you. Bless your family. And we'll see you next time, next month, same time on the Kingdom Intelligence Report. Thank you, sir.
All right, brother. God bless, man.
And to all the big picture audience out there, I want to say how much I appreciate you sticking with us, staying with us, supporting us, hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button, be helping us build the big picture family. We're seeing new people every single week. And we want to always remind you that you can tune in right here on the YouTube channel and Rumble, but everything is always on YouTube. Some things are on Rumble. Very few things are on Facebook. But Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday right here on YouTube, 7 p.m. for all of those Bible studies and breaking news and Kingdom Intelligence Report. So thank you so much for being a part of everything that is happening here. God bless you. And as Ricky said, keep your eyes on Israel, keep your heart right with God. And remember, we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake. See you next time. God bless.